10 years ago today, New Orleans was underwater. Thousands of residents huddled in the Superdome. Congress set to discuss a billion-dollar storm relief package. And President Bush told ABC, "I fully understand people wanting things to have happened yesterday." Well, they did. But flash forward 10 years, people who survived the flood are turning to art to make sense of Hurricane Katrina. Several of the city's major museums acknowledged the anniversary with new exhibits, including one at the New Orleans Museum of Art. 10 years gone. It commemorates the disaster in part by recording the voices of people it touched.
The biggest thing that stands out when I think about Katrina was just watching it from my hotel room on the TV and thinking that it was a dream. But there's no way that that was my city, and that the flood was really that high. The waters were really was really that high.
Here now's Peter O'Dowd spoke with people behind the exhibit. Here's his report.
By now, you've seen the pictures almost too many times. The aerial views of the flooded Lower Ninth Ward. The shots of desperate people waiting to be evacuated outside the Superdome.
What good do those disaster pictures do us now?
Russell Lord is curator of photographs at the New Orleans Museum of Art. He's the man behind the exhibit 10 Years Gone, and he says these images aren't all that useful anymore.
They bring us back, they might be reminders, but a lot of people are trying to move on, and I think because they're thinking about being productive, they don't want to go back to that moment.
With disaster fatigue setting in, Lord takes a step back from Katrina's destruction. He uses video, photography, and audio to focus on a bigger idea. He looks at commemoration.
And with four themes in particular, the passage of time, memory, loss, and transformation, which we identified as the four kind of key things that whether you're celebrating a very positive anniversary or commemorating a tragedy, those four elements are always involved.
Only six artists are featured in 10 Years Gone. Canadian photographer Isabel Heyer is one of them. The photos she took are almost split screen, her lens half in the water and half out of it. The pictures reveal a stark divide between the murky, magnified underwater world and the bright, dry one above it. Lord says Heyer took them years after Katrina.
And only a couple of them were actually made in Louisiana. What she has done is gone around the country here to different places that all have kind of a threatened coastline or places where water is both alluring and threatening, where it is the life's blood of the place, but also the biggest threat to the existence of that place. So some of the photographs were made in New Orleans and around here in Louisiana. Some were made in Florida, and others were made in New York and New Jersey.
Critics have said some of the art feels too removed, too distant from the actual storm. For instance, in another installation, a video played on a loop features another Canadian artist opening canisters of ashes in slow motion. You learn those ashes belong to acquaintances of those who've died. There's no connection to Katrina. Extending the scope of this project beyond New Orleans prompted local reviewer Doug McCash to call it dry and off target. Don't expect passionate paintings of ruined houses or splintery sculpture made of storm debris, he wrote. But there is one small part of the exhibit that zooms right in on the destruction.
This is what stays with me, croaking frogs that were in my house when I returned after the storm.
10 Years Gone documents the voices of people who visit the museum. The woman who made that recording didn't use her name, but it was collected by reporter Jesse Hardman. He's created something called the Listening Post. When visitors pass through, they come across a sculpture. It looks like a tree. There's a digital recorder and a microphone inside. A few prompts are nearby.
The questions that we pose, how do you commemorate a disaster? Tell us about a person, place, moment, or thing from your past that stays with you. And we also ask people, the past can be painful. How do you decide when to preserve and when to let go? And, you know, those are universal questions.
Yes, the questions are universal, but in this context, they're also entirely relevant to the storm. Here's more from the woman who found frogs in her flooded home. It's one of Hardman's favorites.
2 feet of wet paper on the floor that was dissolved from all my photos and my LP albums. And I had to crunch on the albums when I walked through the house, so I was breaking classic albums with my feet.
And that's the thing with this disaster. Nearly every person who lived in this major American city has a story that under any other circumstances would be impossible to believe. As the coverage of the 10-year anniversary of Katrina starts to fade away, let's take a moment to hear a few more. Again, the people who recorded these weren't required to use their names.
I am a Katrina survivor or victim, depending on how you look at it. And it was a pivotal part of my life because it changed where I live and how I live. There was one person in the past, my friend Tony, and he was in the house with me. I was actually in the house when it flooded. He was in the attic. I sat on a stepladder. And he forced me or told me years ago I needed to buy a life preserver since I was so close to the lake. And I reluctantly did that and hung them in the closet, never thinking I would need a life preserver to swim out of my house many years later. So the person that I remember most and still see is my friend Tony. He lost his house. I lost my house. He lives in Texas. I now live in a different part of the city.
I think the best way to commemorate a disaster like Katrina is to talk about it. It is difficult to remember it, but we should preserve it so that we don't repeat it. I'm here with my 10-year-old niece, who was 5 months old when Katrina hit. So she's just getting stories and pictures and stuff. Thankfully, she didn't have to live through it quite like we did. But one moment from the past that stays with me was when we evacuated to Tennessee. We had figured out that we lost our home. And I remember sitting with her on the swing outside. She's 5 months just playing with a toy, sitting in my lap, and I was crying while I was holding her. But I was saying that we're going to go home, we're going to rebuild, we're going to bring everything back, and you're going to see the New Orleans that I know and love very well.
You know, I don't know how we decide exactly when to preserve and when to let go. I think you never really let go. You always remember, but you can't let those memories in the past control you now.
I don't think one can necessarily commemorate a disaster. I feel that there's nothing celebratory about it. It's something that you overcame, and most people move on from it, and they bury it in their minds until it subsides.
Okay, so I'm commemorating Katrina with a poem about trees. Live oaks, dead oaks, oaks stripped of leaves, bare branches, bits of cloth blowing in the breeze. Majestic oaks, now skeletal shapes, silhouetted the devastation all around. But 10 years have passed since Katrina's wrath, and artists have sculpted wondrous shapes from dead oaks, and live oaks have leafed out once more.
A poem that was born out of disaster. I asked curator Russell Lord and Jesse Hardman, the reporter who recorded these stories, why people felt compelled to answer the art in this museum with art of their own.
People often turn to art in these moments because the moments themselves are so complex and they are so hard to understand. And art is not literal. And so, again, because it's an open form, because people can look at a piece of art and see 20, 30 different perspectives, 30 different things, relate it to themselves in a different way. I think art becomes a really powerful tool because it is a way of trying to make sense of the senselessness, or it is a way of dealing with something that is so complex that language fails to do in some ways.
I think it also connects really easily to New Orleans and just the creativity here. And it puts people in a space and a mood that they're really comfortable in. So whether it's talking to my tree or, you know, seeing some of the work that Russell presented, I think it puts people in a very New Orleans space. And that's a comfortable space for them.
The exhibit 10 Years Gone is at the New Orleans Museum of Art through September 7th. For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.